you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, August 10th, 2018. It's Exodus chapter 12 day. That means we'll be...
No, 11.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm looking at 11. But I'm looking at... where did 12
even come
up? Reminds
me of that one time when you when you added a chapter to Philippians.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of weird. I'm looking at the calendar and... I should have said 11 because, well, I was thinking of 11 because tomorrow's Alaric's 35th birthday, and he's been reminding me for about 3 months that his birthday's coming up. Might I say something? So happy birthday, Alaric. He's also known as my guardian angel. It's kind of a long story, but when we began about 2 years ago creating this new center here at Lincoln Square, this individual would come by all the time, almost every day, and he would say hello. And he'd greet me, and then he'd usually ask me, it's usually around 2 or 3 o'clock, what's on the radio? And so every day I would remind him that it was like, you know, this and this, it was music on this station, or Adventures in Odyssey, or Chris Fabry Live, and so forth. And then the next day, come and say hi. And then I got to learn that he had a brain injury when he was younger as a child, and he's like a gentle giant. You know, as a big kid, I don't know, maybe 6'3", 6'4".
He
sings with the Singing Men of GNN. He volunteers all the time. He's helped out. But I started calling him my guardian angel because it just seemed like God had used him to be an encouragement. And how can I help? He had set up chairs on Monday nights. He'd always come and do something and has got progressively more involved. And he's just a special child of the Lord. And so he sings with the Singing Men of GNN and is probably the number one marketer. Everywhere he goes, he has a Great News Radio tote bag. All of his jobs around town, he cleans gas stations and such. But I don't think there's ever been a time where I haven't been around him where if somebody walks by, hey, you need to come sing with the Singing Men.
Oh.
And sometimes I have to say, Alaric, because he doesn't recognize the loudness of his voice.
Oh.
His brain doesn't like help him modulate or know how loud he is or quiet. And so sometimes they have to go like, Alaric, you're really loud, or, you know, sometimes he forgets.
I always thought he was just really excited.
Well, he is that too. But anyways, he's my guardian angel. If you ever see Alaric, especially today or tomorrow, make sure you say happy birthday.
Happy
turns
birthday,
35.
Alaric.
And, you know, another unique way God has used him, when there's ever a book signing here, he'll come and he'll always buy the books. When there was the CD release here, he bought CDs. When Ivan Parker was in town, I think he bought 6 CDs. So one of these that uses his resources that he earns through his gas station work and such to bless others. And I don't know, just he's just a reminder how God uses all of us in different ways.
Yeah.
And so Alaric, I know he's been asking, when do I get to be back on? I think we had him in the studio one time, and he said a few greetings to people. We'll have him back on again, maybe share a little of his faith journey, but it's his 35th birthday tomorrow. Okay, reading from Exodus chapter 11 on this, the 10th day of August. It is Friday. It's 2018. I get those basics maybe right now. This is called the Plague of the Firstborn. So this is a real sad plague. It's sad that Pharaoh didn't wise up earlier, that God had to bring him to this point.
Yeah.
But he had said that he's going to deal with all these gods, little g gods of Egypt, and he was going to reveal his glory and his love for his people. And he had a plan, and it was going to prevail no matter what Pharaoh thought he could or couldn't do.
Yep.
But it's sad that it got to this point. This is kind of a hard chapter when we read through what's going to go on, but it begins with, now the Lord had said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he will let you go from here, and when he does, he will drive you out completely. Yeah, just pause there. So the plague of the firstborn, we're in Exodus chapter 11.
Yeah. But it's really interesting. I mean, this is a prelude to the plague is not going to happen. First, we will have the warning of the plague, and then we will have the Passover, and then the plague will happen. But it really is an interesting moment in the lives of God's people, in the life of Moses, in the life of Egypt, and in the life of Pharaoh. Now, the Lord said to Moses, the Lord comes to Moses yet again, and he says, yet one more plague. And so he's saying, this is the last one. And so there's a line being drawn here by the Lord. Yet one more plague I will bring upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Notice how Pharaoh and Egypt are separate there, and yet they're the same. Hmm. So Pharaoh, who governs over Egypt, who rules over Egypt, is going to be affected by this plague, and he is the center, he is the reason why this plague is coming. It's his hard heart and his desire to not let the people of the Lord go to worship the Lord. And so here it will come upon Pharaoh, and Egypt will be the recipient also. And Egypt is the recipient of what he's doing, just like any other country with a wicked and horrible leader. The country generally tends to suffer. I think of North Korea. I think of during the war, you know, Italy's Mussolini. I think of different places where wicked and heinous people have ruled. The people have generally, usually, suffered because of that. And so here, you know, Lord said to Moses, yet one more plague. This is the last one. I'll bring upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. So Pharaoh first and foremost, and Egypt will be the recipient because of Pharaoh's hard-heartedness. Afterward, he will let you go from here. So he's saying, this is the one. By the way, the Lord said before, way back in Exodus chapter 3 and 4, to Moses, he said, Pharaoh is not going to let you go. This is going to have to run its course. And so at some point, Pharaoh will release you, but it's going to have to go all the way to the end, all the way to the wall. And that's what he's saying here. He said, this is the last one, and this is the one in which he will let you go, the last one, because this is going to be the worst one. And we know that it's going to be bad because it says this, not only will he let you go, he will drive you away completely. So within the scope of this plague, Pharaoh no longer will need to be persuaded to have Israel go. Pharaoh will drive them out himself. Pharaoh will send them out because he will have no other choice in his mind. This will not be the Lord bending him and Pharaoh's like, fine, you win, uncle. No, this will be get the heck out of here. I mean, just at that point, when you stop right there at the end of verse 1, you have to go. And so imagine you're just hearing this, and you don't have chapter divisions because, you know, those weren't around until, you know, much later, 1400s. And so this is all you get. You go, this is going to be bad. This is the last one, and this is going to cause Pharaoh, who has had a track record of not letting Israel go, not letting the Lord's people go, he will, and he will drive them out completely. Speak now in the hearing of the people that they ask every man and his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor for silver and for gold. And so this is really fascinating, isn't it? Because what is happening is the Israelites are going to go and they're going to ask their Egyptian neighbors for gold and for silver. And this gold and silver is ultimately going to be what is going to help to build the tabernacle. This is going to be for the building of the tabernacle. And so when the Lord says in the hearing of the people that they should go ask their neighbors and every woman of her neighbors for silver and gold jewelry, he's saying to them, there's something coming. I need you to prepare for it. They don't even know. It doesn't say so that I can build a tabernacle, so I can build a place of worship. He's saying, I need you to do this because something is coming. Something is going to be happening.
After one misfire.
Yeah.
When Aaron and that golden calf.
There'll be a miss, yeah. They take the jewelry and they make the golden calf instead.
Yeah.
And so this is really interesting because Pharaoh is going to drive them out. Not only is Pharaoh going to drive them out, but the people, the Egyptian people, are going to pay for the return of God's people. They're going to pay for God's people to be able to worship God in a special and unique way. And so just think about when God wins the war, he doesn't just win the war. God wins the war with spoils,
yeah.
You know, because he provides for his people exactly what they need. Even though I think in this moment, the people of God don't know why they need the silver and gold, but they're probably thinking this is really great. Now, there are some commentators who think that the silver and gold is also payment for wages for their slavery, that they have not been paid. We don't know that. Verse 3, and the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of all the Egyptians, which means they got the silver and the gold. There was favor. They gave them the silver and the gold. Now think about that. There has to be something happening. The scales have to be tipping. Pharaoh is not releasing himself from his hardness of heart. Pharaoh is not stopping his heinous and wicked ways. But the people of Egypt are tipping over. The people in the land in which the people of Israel live, they are tipping over. They are saying, wait a second. Why do all these bad things keep happening? Why does God say he's going to do these things and then he does them? Surely if you're living in Egypt in this time and you're looking around at all the little g gods, you're looking at Seth and Ra and all these people, and you're going, they're not that powerful. Ra, the sun god, was considered to be the most powerful little g god in terms of the Egyptian gods. Mm. Ra was only above Pharaoh himself. Pharaoh was considered, like later Caesar, to be a god on earth. And so here in the ninth plague, the plague of darkness, the greatest of the Egyptian little g gods, Ra, is silenced. By who? Yahweh. And so the Egyptians, all that they could have put their life on, all that they could have put all their chips in this one basket, well, at least there's still Ra. And Ra goes dark. There's no more Ra and Ra.
And I'm almost wondering if these Egyptians, I mean, some of them were wising up. They're like, you know what? The plague's not happening in Goshen. These Hebrew people are being blessed of their God. Maybe we need to affiliate, because some of the Egyptians even crossed over, right? Isn't there? We'll come up to that. So I wonder if some of them will say, hey, you know, they're on the winning team. I'm a fair weather fan now of Pharaoh. I think we need to join up with the Israelites, and whether it's like we should pay them some wages or God made them favorably minded towards them, or they saw the light and they said, hey, their God. You know, maybe they're starting to entertain the idea. I wonder if we should follow their God. I don't know.
If anything, I think what they're thinking is this God must be great, because look at the power in which he is able to operate in. Yeah. And societies like the Romans, the Egyptians, they value power. They value might. They value strength. And Yahweh has shown himself and proven himself to keep his promises and to display his strength. And in doing that, to quiet and silence the little g gods of Egypt. Mm-hmm. And it says, moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. So everybody in Egypt is beginning to believe that not only is the Lord all-powerful, not only is he stronger than the little g gods of Egypt, but also that his servant Moses, because he follows this God so steadfastly, that Moses has a strength to him also because of God. And so the man Moses becomes very great in the land of Egypt. They're like, look, every time Moses goes to Pharaoh and says it's going to happen, it happens. And so who's greater in the land of Egypt?
Yeah.
Moses is greater than even Pharaoh in the sight of the people. So Moses said, thus says the Lord. So now Moses is in Pharaoh's court. Moses said, thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out in the midst of Egypt. And every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. And from the firstborn of the Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle. Hmm. So he says, listen, all the firstborn are going to die, from the top to the bottom, from the left to the right.
Yeah, and the cattle.
Yeah, all of them. Every firstborn is going to die. We're going to see in the Passover that the Israelites are going to be spared by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, just think about that one for a moment. But every single one of them. Listen, when someone of power is wicked, everyone beneath them is affected. When someone in leadership is wicked or goes sideways, everybody beneath them is affected. And here, this is one of the truisms that we see, that from the Pharaoh who sits on the throne to the slave girl behind the handmill to even the cattle, all will be affected. And because of that, there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, as there has never been, nor ever will be again. So there will be a moaning, there will be a wail throughout Egypt, unlike anything that has ever been heard before or will ever be heard again. Now listen, this is amazing, because if you go back to the book of Revelation and you think that there will come a point in the book of Revelation where 2.3 billion people will die. I mean, if you take a very literal reading of Revelation, when some of the apocalypse begins to happen, 2.3 billion people, charting, you know, current population and that, will die. And yet Exodus says there will not be a wail like the one in Egypt ever again. This thing is going to be so crazy. But not a dog shall growl against any of the people of Israel, either a man or beast, that you may know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. Listen, for some of you, you might hear this and you might think, this is hard. Wait a second. What do you mean? God makes a distinction. I mean, there's those who are in and those who are out. You know, yeah, I heard about this before. This fundamentalism, and I don't like that. No, this is the truth. There is no gray area. See, what modern day culture, what today tends to teach us, is that there's gray area in the middle. You can sit on the fence and you can still be okay. You can be in the middle. You know, well, it's not that I don't believe in Christ, or it's not that I do believe in Christ. I'm just not sure. So, you know, I mean, I'm keeping the door open. Well, friends, there is a story in Genesis chapter 6 where Noah attempts to keep the door of the ark open and God comes and he closes it. Because there is a moment that will come where the door of grace does close, where the seven seals are broken and they're open, where the Lord, who has been withholding the winds of the east and the west and the north and the south, will let loose his grip and those winds will blow across the land and judgment will come. There will be that day, a day where the Lord will draw a dividing line between those who believe and those who do not believe. Jesus said, it will come like a thief in the night. You will be busy doing what you're doing, and all of a sudden, like a thunderclap, it will happen. And so we need to understand that. We need to know that the Lord makes a distinction. And we have talked about this before, that Egypt is synonymous for the evil or the wickedness that is happening, and Israel is synonymous for the people who are actively being saved and rescued and redeemed by God. And so here, he's saying, I will make a distinction between those who believe and those who do not believe. And there won't even be a dog who barks against the Israelites, which means there won't even be a hint of recompense to the children of Israel for what will happen. Why? Because the children of Israel are not the ones who are going to do it. It's the Lord who's going to do it. And what does it say? And all these your servants shall come and bow down to me and bow down to me, saying, get out, you and all the people who follow you. And after that, I will go out. He says, listen, you'll bow or you'll be made to bow. Yeah. Now, Philippians says this later. By the way, this is fascinating when you think about it. Read the Old Testament and read it with a really good ear. This is why you need to read your Bible. This is why you need to know your Bible. So that when you read passages like this, other passages begin to come to mind. Think of Philippians chapter 2. Every knee will bow and every tongue will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. There will come a day when every knee will bow. Those who don't want to bow, those who will adamantly say today, I will never bow. There will come a day when they will bow. When the heavens depart and the Son of Man in all of his glory descends, even the most ardent atheist will become a believer on that day. He will go, whoa, whoa, God. And here it says, your servant shall come and bow down to me, saying, get out, you and all your people who follow you. And after that, I will go out. So when he says Pharaoh will drive them out, the servants and the people will come and do that too. Everyone will be like, get out of here. You need to go worship your Lord. Go worship him. Go on. We don't want you to be here anymore. And then he went out from Pharaoh in hot anger. And the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will not listen to you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. So he says, listen, I could do really wonderful things in Egypt. I could multiply wonders upon wonders. I could make the Nile flow with such strength. I could make the land produce crops with such amazing yields. There are wonders that I could do in Egypt. But I don't know, anybody within earshot right now ever been to Egypt? The last time I checked, the wonders of Pharaoh was encompassed by the sand. They had to dig it back out so that we could see and celebrate what that culture looked like. And so the wonders were not multiplied in Egypt. And so Pharaoh's heart continues to be hard. Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the people of Israel go out of his land. So he's been told, he's been warned, he's been said, this is what's going to happen, this is how it's going to happen, this is what's going to be affected, this is what it's going to look like, this is how it's going to be. You have a decision to make. What is your decision? The most important decision you will ever make, Pharaoh, because it is going to affect not just you, but it's going to affect everybody around you, everybody beneath you, everybody you've been called to care for. I would love to do amazing wonders in the land of Egypt. What are you going to do? Pharaoh says, no way. I'm going to harden my heart. By the way, it says the Lord hardened his heart, but we know that's just because the Lord is giving Pharaoh what Pharaoh desires, and that's more of the same. And so, boom, the Lord has promised it. And listen, for there's some of you out there who are listening to this, and you're going, man, this is really a hard message. Well, if you have a Bible, go to the back of the Bible and begin to read the last pages of the book of Revelation. You know, begin around, chapter 17 and go forward. There is that kind of a day coming, the same day that was promised to Pharaoh here. There's a day like that coming where the door of the ark, where the seven seals will be broken, where God will come in judgment and he will judge those who are righteous and those who are unrighteous. And those who are unrighteous will be cast into the lake of fire. And those who are deemed righteous will be invited into the new Jerusalem. Those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. And so, friends, there is a line that has been drawn. It's been drawn by Almighty God, who loves you with a limitless love and who would love, who desires more than anything to have a seat for you at the table in the New Jerusalem. And yet you have a decision to make. God is wanting to do all these wonders in your sight. And will you simply harden your heart more, or will you open your heart to the beauty of the Lord, to the goodness of the Lord? Will you live in a land full of wailing, like none had ever seen before? Or will you be free, free in Christ?
Yeah, that day is coming, and so many people will say, oh, I'll wait, I'll deal with this at another time. Oh, I'm still young, and there is a day approaching, and it's not a day we're determining. It's a day that God has set forth. He's full of grace and mercy, but he's righteous and just. And we want him just, and we want him to deal with sin. And yeah, he'll deal with it. We're not the deal makers. It's his deal that he's laid out. And it's not just a deal. It's a promise he's made. He's wanting to draw all of us to himself. May that be a decision you make today. And if you need a Bible, Jason referenced a Bible, we have them here at the Great News Radio Center, and we'd be happy to hand you one. And if you had questions about the Christian faith, we would do our best to answer them. Or you can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. They can talk to you about reading the Bible, what it's like to have a relationship.
And, you know,
with
I heard
God.
This thing. Somebody forwarded it to me. It made me chuckle. It was an old advertisement from the Gideons. And we have a Gideon on the Singing Men, don't
sure,
you?
Sure, yeah. Well, C.J. Sizemore,
C.J.
Bob
Sizemore,
Dickey,
and
a number
of guys. I guess a number of years ago there was this advertisement that said, need a word from God? Call the Gideons.
Yeah, that's classic. Yeah.
So you need a word from God? Come to the Great News Radio Center.
Yeah. Or call a Gideon.
Or call a Gideon.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day, night, and weekend.